So the culmination of the holiday season is Christmas. Christmas Eve, we're here. Kids are excited, right, kids? We got kids in here? You excited? Yeah, you can be excited. Yay, right? Hopefully all your shopping's done. I don't know if I'll see you in Walmart afterwards. Mine's done, okay? I'll be at the 4 o'clock service. Okay, and everybody's getting ready for tomorrow, right? Everybody's getting ready for tonight, ready for tomorrow. And you came here to worship, right? Sing Christmas songs. We love Christmas songs. We all know the Christmas songs. We want to hear a message about Jesus. And of course, we want to sing Silent Night with the Candles, right? You guys are looking forward to that, Silent Night with the Candles. That reminds me of a story I read about a little brother and a little sister that were singing Silent Night in church one Christmas Eve. And during the last line of the song, the little sister heard the brother singing the last line, and he was saying, "Sleep in heavenly beans." Beans. And the sister was like, "Beans?" She's like, "That's wrong. It's not beans, it's peas." Think about that for a second. So, on Sundays, we've been studying through Luke 2 to learn how to be people of goodwill this Christmas season. We learn that people of goodwill give hope, people of goodwill bring joy, people of goodwill make peace, and people of goodwill express love. If we practice these things in our life, we'll see that people actually respond better to us, and we'll have less relational problems. And we also find that we have a sense of fulfillment. When we do good towards others, when we shed goodwill towards others, we actually have a sense of fulfillment. So the reason is because we're not just living for ourselves and our own desires, but we're actually living the way God designed us to live. God designed us to live to benefit the people around us. But it's not just about living for the benefit of others. It's also about living for the glory of God. So we're concluding our study here in Luke 2, and we are going to learn that the last way that people of goodwill live is they bring glory to God. People of goodwill glorify God. In Luke chapter 2, I'll have all the scriptures on the screen just to make it easier for you tonight. But in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read a few verses. And picking up in verse 18, and then you'll see verse 20 on the screen, it says this: "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them." So the shepherds just went, they saw Jesus, and they went and they started telling everybody about Jesus. Verse 19 says, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." And then in verse 20, as you'll see on the screen, it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." So that's really the verse that I want to park it on. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen. They saw the baby Jesus. They saw the promise. They went back. This was told to them. They went back and they were telling everybody. They were bringing glory to God. The shepherds returned to their homes, giving glory to God. And glorify simply means to acknowledge and reveal the majesty and splendor of God by one's actions. So we're acknowledging, we're revealing and saying, God is great. God is powerful. So the action of the shepherds were revealing the majesty and splendor of God to the people around them. But did you know this? That our lives can actually bring glory to God. Our lives can bring glory to God. So today we're going to learn how people of goodwill can actually bring glory to God, because that is actually our purpose in life. Some of you might have heard this before. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says it this way about our purpose in life. It says, "Mankind's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever." To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And you know what? The main passage that they base this on is in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says this: "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." So what that's telling us is everything in our life should bring glory to God. This simply means that no matter what we're doing, we should seek to show others the power, the majesty of God, and the greatness, the splendor of God. Think about this for a second. It's Christmas, and there's Christmas decorations all over. And you drive around, you see Christmas decorations. Somebody on my street actually is one of the finalists in the Lacey Township recreation thing. So like all these people are driving down. I'm like, who's this? Who's this? And they're not going to see my house, okay? My decorations are not anywhere near his decorations. But here's the thing. People are driving around, they're looking at all these Christmas decorations. But think about this for a second. The Christmas decorations that we put up actually glorify God. They actually point to God. The lights, Jesus is the light of the world who came into this dark world. The tree, the evergreen trees are known to survive the death of winter. They stay green, right, all year long. They symbolize both the immortality of God and our souls after we trust in him. The wreaths, since they're circular in shape, they had no beginning or end. They serve as a reminder of the fact that God is eternal and he offers us eternal life. The candy canes, many of you have seen this, right? The candy maker's witness. The shape of it is in a shepherd's staff. And then if you turn it over, it's a J for Jesus. And if you look at the colors, the red and the white represents the purity we receive after the blood of Jesus was shed, the red. And then the star led the wise men to visit Jesus. And then, of course, the gifts. We all like the gifts, right? Kids, you like the gifts? You're waiting for the gifts, okay? The gifts represent the free gift of eternal life that we have in Jesus. So every day, there's more than just six. All these decorations, if you actually research them, all these decorations that we put up and use for our holiday season actually point to something about Christ. Now, these are things that point to the glory of God, but you know what? We should be people that point to the glory of God. It's our main purpose in life. So very briefly, what I want to do is I want to talk just for a few minutes about how to glorify God with your life. And the first way is this. The first way is pretty simple in a sense, but it's a starting point. It's trust Jesus. You have to trust Jesus. The message of Christmas is God came to us. And an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to take Mary as his wife, that she was with child given to her by the Holy Spirit. And this was to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. But why did God come to us? Well, the simple answer is this. We needed to be saved from our sins. We needed to be saved from our sins. Well, then you have to ask this question. Well, how can a person be saved? Well, the first thing is we need to admit that we are sinners, that we actually need a Savior. The Christmas account is not just a nice story, okay? It's a human need for us because we need to be saved. Then we need to trust that Jesus is the Savior and he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And 3 days later rose again to prove that he was God. And the Bible says this, when you believe in Jesus, he forgives you, saves you from your sins. But then people ask this question all the time. Maybe you even have this question. Why did he have to die? Why did he have to die? Well, the truth is this. People don't like this part, but sin has to be paid for. We can understand this by observing a healthy justice system, right? If you commit a crime, you either pay a fine, right? Or if the crime is very bad, you might actually do some time in jail to pay for the crime that you actually committed. You need to pay for what you've done. Well, the truth is we are all sinners and we would have to pay for our own sin. But Jesus was willing to pay for us. See, spiritually speaking here, sin needs to be paid for because all sin is an offense to God. You may have sinned in your life and never did anything to hurt anyone else, but you still sinned that it was an offense to God. This is how we know that God loves us so deeply. If there's anyone here that would even challenge God's love, if there's anyone in your life that would even challenge God's love, you have to know this. The Father was willing to send his Son to pay the ultimate price for us. When he died on that cross, he laid down his life for us. Very famous verse. I'm sure all of you have either heard it or saw some guy with a clown wig holding the verses up at a ball game, or Tim Tebow writing it on his face at a football game. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." The centerpiece of the scriptures is Jesus. If you reject that, you're rejecting the glory of God. You're rejecting the greatness and the power of God. I want nothing more for you this Christmas than for you to accept that love, accept that gift of eternal life. Trusting in Jesus is the first way you're going to bring glory to God. Do you know what? After you trust in Jesus, you become a Christian. Your purpose in life shifts from being self-centered to Jesus and other-centered. The purpose of your life now is to bring glory to God. So the next two points are how we do that in our Christian walk. And the first is this: we bear fruit. We bear fruit. John 15:8 says it this way: "By this my Father is glorified." Jesus said this: "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples." So other people will know that you are a believer because good is coming out of you. Fruit should be the result of what we believe, and the fruit in our life brings glory to God, points people to God, just like our Christmas decorations point people to God. The fruit in our life should point people to God so that others follow him. Some of you might remember this verse in Galatians 5:22 through 23. It's up on the screen. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So what Paul is saying is this: if you want to bring glory to Jesus and show the people around you how amazing Jesus is, these are the things that should be coming out of your life. You should be expressing love towards others by the things that you do and say. You should be bringing joy to others by telling them the truths of Jesus, by telling them positive and encouraging things. You should make peace with other people. You know what? Maybe this Christmas season, there's somebody that you need to make peace with. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is he wants you to have that peace. So maybe you need to make that step. Maybe it might even be tonight or tomorrow that you need to make peace with somebody in your family. I pray and hope that you will do that. The fruit of the Spirit has patience with the people around us. Parents, I know this is tough, right? Patience with your children. Patience with what's going on in your life, maybe with what's going on in your marriage, maybe with what's going on at work. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Kindness. Are you kind to other people? Generally speaking, just the people around you. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. We do good towards other people. Like I said, we learned for the last 4 weeks how to be people of goodwill, to do good towards other people. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, a person that's full of faith. No matter what's going on in your life, you still focus your attention on the Lord, and you don't think that he's not there for you anymore, but you are full of faith in him. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. How do you treat other people? Are you gentle with them? How do you treat your coworkers, your friends, your family members? And the fruit of the Spirit displays self-control. There's a lot of sinful things out there for us to get involved in, for us to be tempted by. Do you have any self-control to stay away from those things? Are you focusing on the Lord and trying to actually follow after him and not get sucked away by the things that are going to be harmful for you? See, when good fruit is coming out of your life, a few things happen. And I'll tell you, the first is this: we feel good about ourselves. When we do these things, I can tell you, you take that list, you take that verse, you follow all those things, you will feel good about yourself, because those things are designed to actually benefit you, because you're living a life for God's glory. But the second thing that actually happens is people will actually start to notice. People will notice. They'll think there's something different about this person. They'll notice that there is good fruit coming out of your life. But you know what? They might start to say things like this: "You are amazing." And a lot of people like to hear that, right? Would you agree with that? Like, yeah. Okay, "You are amazing." Or, "You're such a good person." Now, at this point, you can either take those compliments and keep them for yourself, or You can use the things that people say and point them to Jesus. You might think I'm a good person. You might think I'm amazing. You might think I've hit a home run. You might think I'm amazing, an amazing person. But you know what? Here's the thing. I couldn't do these things. I couldn't live this way. I couldn't be this way if it wasn't for my Savior who's empowered me. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of you, the fruit of the Spirit are all these things. So you point them to Jesus, which brings us to the next and final way that we can glorify God, and we make Jesus' name known. Psalm 115:1 says it this way. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory." As believers, we want to make Jesus' name known. That's one of the best ways that you can bring glory to God. Make Jesus' name known. We sit here on Christmas Eve. The whole country and many parts of the world are celebrating this day. And you know what? They're celebrating this day in blindness. They're celebrating this day as a day that you get together with family and you exchange gifts. And it's just kind of what we've done and what we do. And it's never about Jesus for some people. Well, for us, it should always be about Jesus. We should always be pointing people to Jesus, whether it's Christmas, whether it's New Year's, whether it's not a holiday, it doesn't matter. Our life should be making the name of Jesus known. Acts 4:12 says it this way, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among people by which we are saved." When the things we do point to Jesus, point people to Jesus, his name gets the glory. When we live to glorify God, guess what happens? Remember back to that Westminster Shorter Catechism? We glorify God and we do what? We enjoy him forever. Guess what? God designed us to bring him glory. When we bring him glory, we enjoy him forever. Forever meaning now in this life because we receive fulfillment for living that way. But not only that, we enjoy him forever and ever in eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we can bring glory to your name. And I just pray now as we leave this place, wherever all these people are going, whether it's family, friends, wherever it is, that you would make them agents of your glory. That when people see them, they would see you. I pray, Lord, that you would just help each one of us to point to you no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you to take out your candles. And I got to give you a little primer every year, okay? When the light comes your way, okay, the lighted candle stays this way, vertical, okay? The unlighted candle goes horizontal, okay? So if you're an unlighted candle and you come out to somebody vertically, they're going to look at you and be like, I can't do this, okay? Because the wax is going to drip. And I know there's at least one person in this room that doesn't like when wax drips all over our chairs, and she's laughing right now. So when the light comes your way, light stays vertical, no light, horizontal. Repeat after me. Light, vertical. No light, horizontal. I think we got this, okay? Steve and George, if you guys come on up.